Beloveds, for you are beloved. In all that you are beloved. It has been a hard couple of weeks, has it not? I feel battered and worn and soul weary, really. And my faith is stretched. It is not yet broken, but it is stretched. Originally, I was going to preach on the Syracuse abolitionists today, and then there was Dr. Ford's testimony. I heard part of her testimony while I sat with the Ministerial Fellowship Committee next to one of her sisters-in-law. It was powerful, and I knew I had to change my plans. I have spoken to so many of you who are also feeling battered and worn and soul-weary. And then our theme is sanctuary this month. That was a lucky coincidence. It is my hope that this service is a bit of sanctuary for us all. This sermon will be short because more important than words are acts of blessing and healing, and those will happen in just a bit during our service. And here we are gathered in our sanctuary, our sacred place, made sacred by the practice that we have to gather here with each other, to listen, to question, to pray, to sing, to be with each other, to support one another. Babies have been blessed in this room. Families have been blessed too. Marriages have been blessed. We have said goodbye to those who have passed over. We welcome new members in this room too, folks who are courageous, curious, and quirky enough to join with us. We hug each other in this space, and we grumble at each other in this space too, because this is not a perfect sanctuary, but it is our sanctuary, our sacred place. We are a community of activists and activist supporters, but that is not what is at the center of this community. At the center of this community is literally our sanctuary, the place we most often gather together. This is the place where we gather to reconnect with our divine, ourselves, and each other. We do that for many reasons, but one of them is that it is part of what supports us and keeps us keeping on. And we need that so much right now. The world needs that so much right now. Have you ever heard about the spoon theory? It is a metaphor used to explain how reduced amounts of energy are available to individuals who are living with some kind of disability or chronic illness. Spoons are a visual representation used as a unit of measure in order to quantify how much energy a person has throughout a given day. Each activity requires a given number of spoons, which will only be replaced when that person recharges through rest. A person who runs out of spoons has no choice but to rest until their spoons are replenished. Spoon theory was created in order to explain what it's like to live with any kind of disability, and it is a useful metaphor for anyone who isn't at the center of the white cis hetero patriarchy. This past couple of weeks, it has become evident to me that those of us who are fighting against the patriarchy, for those of us who hate the patriarchy, we are low on spoons, if not out of them. Reverend Ashley Horan said it better than I ever could. There is so much terrible, beautiful mourning and testifying and witnessing to the terrors of patriarchy and sexual violence, and the other oppressive systems misogyny props up and colludes with. It's happening out loud and in private, across restaurant booths and on the internet, in restroom conversations, and at the family dinner table. And no matter how the truth of these testimonies land on us, and our histories and our bodies, there is something powerful happening. And I just keep thinking, what would happen if instead of having to expend the emotional and physical and spiritual energy to speak truth to power, we women and femmes and trans, non-binary, gender non-conforming folk and queers and people of color and immigrants and disabled folk and every group who isn't at the center of the white cis heteropatriarchy, were able to devote that same courage, that same yearning, that same loving energy to living into another way of being. What if we didn't have to use all our spoons to resist and critique, but rather to reimagine and create? I believe, truly, I believe that any damn thing would be possible. So in that spirit, and in the spirit of no longer caring about respectability politics and reasoned dialogue, I am aspiring to do the healing, personal and communal, necessary to free up all that energy and amaze and imagination and do a new thing. If you are too tired and re-traumatized and triggered to hold that aspiration with me today or any day, please know that I love you. And I am with you. And I and so many others who have a little more to give right now are holding the space for you to be wherever you need to be right now. We'll take this shift. Beloveds, that is sanctuary in this time of tumult. I think I have lost my hope. But I have not lost my sanctuary. I have not lost you, beloveds. For truly, this sanctuary is not the sanctuary. You, we, together, are the sanctuary. And this space is simply what physically holds us. And do not ever think that being a sanctuary is not justice work. For it is. When the white cis heteropatriarchy batters you with the daily micro and macro aggressions, wear you down, when you have no spoons left, when you think evil has won, then there is the sanctuary of us, a place to be, to heal, to slow one's breath. And still one's heart, to gather a bit of energy. There is nothing more countercultural than that, my beloveds. In a world ruled by white, cis, heteropatriarchy, for us to say, no, not here, not now. Here we value each and every one. Here we promise to bring our best selves. Here we promise to hold you up when you cannot hold yourself up. Here we promise to share spoons with one another. And when we break that covenant, and each of us will break that covenant, we promise to come back to the table or stay at the table and find a way through. It might not be my covenant, and it might not be your covenant, but it will be our covenant. It will be our way. Sanctuary is the center of beloved community. It is the center of our faith. It is the center of our work. Here may we find love, courage, and healing in a world without end. May this be so. I invite you to join in hymn number 1002, Comfort Me. Are nice, but there are times when we need something different than words. We need sanctuary, connection, blessing, and healing. So for about the next 10 minutes or so, we will have a time for you to engage and participate in ways of being blessed and being a blessing. You have some choices. While Sarah Jo plays some quiet music, you can choose to simply be in your seat and soak up the love that is in this room right now. You could come up and light a candle, and if you want, say a quiet prayer. I will be in this front corner near the pulpit, and you can come up and get a blessing from me. In the back, on the pulpit side, is a card table with some note cards on it. You can write a short note to Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, and we will send them on to her. And in the back corner by Paul is a table with some index cards on it, and you can write a blessing or a prayer on one of those 3x5 cards, and those blessings will be used later in the service in a prayer. So this is going to be a time of some quiet moving around. If you would like me to come to you at the end of this time, because getting up is not an easy thing for you, toward the end, raise your hand or catch my eye, and I will try and get over to you. Let our time of healing begin.
Thank you.
Join in hymn number 1045, There Is a Balm in Gilead.
Thank you.
We have been blessed in this time together, and we are a blessing to this world. What we receive here, we take with us as we move through our lives. Just the regular life, going to the doctor, buying groceries, taking the kids to daycare, meeting up with old friends. Hear these words of blessing, carry them with you this week as we move through life. The first part of the first one is in Hebrew, which I cannot read, but I will read the English part below. Thank you for bringing us to here this time, this very moment. We will do better because we must. Blessed are you and me and they. May we all work in joy and love to bend that arc toward justice with compassion. A blessing for all those who carry trauma in their bodies and spirits, many of them unable to articulate this trauma. May they find healing, peace, and sanctuary, including our brothers and sisters and children on the south, west, and north side of Syracuse, who live in violent neighborhoods and volatile homes. A blessing for Cliff Ryan. May his courageous witness light the fire that cleanses our community of violence. May all who are hurting be blessed with comfort. May we be blessed with the strength to support each other through the difficult times. A year ago in this church, a speaker said, "It is not yet time to weaponize our faith." I think when tenderness has been labeled political, our faith has been deemed dangerous. Our faith is dignity. Our faith is compassion. What more fearsome weapon? Gracious and holy divine, who lives within all of us, this is a fearsome faith that we have. It will hold us when we are tired. It will replenish our spoons. It will help us to keep on keeping on. This faith of ours holds us and holds us together. Thank you for this faith. It is a blessing to me. Is it a blessing to us? It is a blessing to this world. Amen, and blessed be.